My service, my church is in service right now, and you know, it can only be Pastor Robert Bragg that would get me to come away from my service. Amen. But I thank God for him and his life and everything that he stands for. We thank God for him. Amen. So we've been dealing with the power of words. Is that right? The power of words. And we're going to talk a little bit about that, and maybe we're going to just come from a slightly different angle. Amen. If you can turn down my monitors just a little bit, I'll be your best friend. Just a little bit. Amen. And we just thank God for this great word. Amen. This great word. Amen. Do you stand on your feet for the reading of God's word? Is that all right? I don't want to impose my traditions on you, but can you stand for the reading of God's word? Can you go to Matthew chapter 15? Matthew chapter 15. Hallelujah. I give you greetings from Faith City Church over in Hackney. Amen. We thank God. Amen. For the coming together of God's people. Amen. It's good for people to dwell together in unity. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Matthew chapter 15. I may go over to John chapter 5, but let's just see how the Spirit of the Lord is going to move and how he's going to communicate this word. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Matthew chapter 15. Hallelujah. If you have it, say amen. We're going to start reading from verse 11. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. Let me say it one more time. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. Then his disciples came and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?" But he answered and said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch." Then Peter answered and said to him, "Explain this parable to us." So Jesus said, "Are you also still without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts," my God, "murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man." Thank you, Jesus. Father, we just thank you today for your word. We pray that you will speak to the hearts of your people. We pray, Father God, that you will send a word that is relevant to everyone's situation, in the mighty name of Jesus. Let everyone say amen. Before you take your seats, turn to your neighbor. Say, neighbor, there's going to be a lot of turn to your neighbors today. I just want to prepare you for that. Turn to your neighbor. Say, neighbor, change your mindset. Come on, look them in the eye and tell them, change your mind. Clap those hands as you take your seats. I don't have much time, and I want to just quickly present something to you that I believe will be life-changing, as it has changed our lives as well. Amen. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and we understand that in Genesis chapter 1, he spoke things into existence with the power of his word. He called things. He named things, and it was so. The Bible said, he said, "Let there be," and it became what he said. God's word has the power to create. The Bible says God called into existence those things that be not as though they were. I want you to understand that God is a creative God. If God was to look at this speaker right now and say, speaker, turn red, it would just immediately turn red. I want you to understand that when God opens up his mouth to speak a thing, it will not come back to him void, but it will accomplish that which he has told it to do. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? Your God is creative. Come on, someone say it. God is creative. I want you to catch that. That means before we even realize who we were and what we would become, God already called us. You see, that's really powerful because, you see, God, the devil can't block that prophecy. Because God has already called you, the enemy cannot block that prophecy in your life. Okay, we're gonna build something here. That means before we even realize who we were and what we would become, God had already sanctioned it. God already called it into being. He spoke some things. That's why you can never look at someone and what they're dealing with right now as to think that's the end of their life. Because when God already spoke from the beginning, he knew that they would go through transitions. But the Bible says his word will accomplish what he sent it to do. So I may not look like much right now. You may be looking at somebody and thinking, you know, they don't look like much. They would never amount to much. But I'm telling you something now. Give time some time. And you will begin to realize that God's word will accomplish what it said it would do. That's why you can't be too quick to judge people. You can't afford to look down on anybody that look like they're going through something because maybe tomorrow their destiny will change. Why? Because God spoke it. I'm so glad that God speaks and not man. Because when man speaks, it's temperamental. It's when they feel like it. It's when they're happy with you or not upset or they're upset with you. But when God speaks, he speaks from the beginning concerning the end. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The Bible says he is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Oh God, thank you, Jesus. Because God is creative, we are creative. Point to your neighbor, say, neighbor, you are creative. And I want to deal with this because we're dealing with the power of words, but there's something that we need to deal with, and it's very important that we begin to understand this. Before we talk and get into the power of words, we first got to deal with our thoughts. Before we can deal with speaking right, we gotta talk about thinking right. Because your thoughts control your words. Are you hearing me today? We're gonna take a little twist on this. We have to deal with our mindsets, the way you think. The way you think is what's holding you back. The way you think is what's holding you in a corner, in a dark place, because the Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, that's what he is. So I must begin to understand, if I'm going to speak the word of God, I must check my heart. I must check my mind. Anytime you hear, see the word mind or heart in the Bible, it's the same thing. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Are you hearing me today? And I want you to catch this because this is the dilemma that we're having as believers. Is that we are being told to speak the word, but I'm having a battle with my thoughts, Pastor. We've been told to speak to mountains and they will be moved into the midst of the sea and all these types of things, and it's great. But I'm when I move out of the church service, I'm still dealing with my thoughts. Oh my God, can I speak to some real people today? I don't want to speak to Alice in Wonderland. Can I speak to some real people? You see, because many of us, we come to church and we got this church look on, church clothes, church attitude. But when we get out there, we're dealing with a barrage of thoughts that control our life. Are you hearing me today? So we need to deal with our mindsets, the mind, the way how you think, the way how you perceive things, the way how you understand things, the way how you look at things. Your mindset is the thing that holds you back from speaking God's word. It's the way you think. People right now, even in this room, are overthinking and overprocessing everything. Something going on right now over in your house or over in your job or in a situation, and you're overthinking, you're overprocessing. You're thinking about your children. You're thinking about your marriage. You're thinking about your relationship. You're thinking about your church. You're thinking about your job. You're thinking about your bills. Always overthinking, overprocessing. And anytime you overprocess, it leads to doubt and fear. Because when you overthink, you are telling God that you don't trust him. When you overprocess, you're saying to God, God, your word is not true. You're always processing, always thinking. The Bible says a double-minded man is what? Unstable in all his ways. Overprocessing. Overthinking. So the Bible says in Matthew, it says, it's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth that defiles a man. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, what's in your mind? What's in your mind? Because whatever's in your mind is coming out of your mouth. You see, it's really easy to read all kinds of affirmations and different declarations, and it's great. I do it myself. But I'm asking the Holy Spirit to clean up my mind. Because when I've confessed the word of God, I need to make sure that my mind has the right type of thinking. Because as a man thinks, that's what he is. Are you hearing me today? You cannot escape your situation physically until you escape mentally. In other words, you've got to see yourself out of a situation in your mind first. Can I speak to some people? You see, you just want to abracadabra and wave a wand and expect God. No, I've got to get my thoughts in the right place. I've got to understand right now that if I'm going to overcome anything, if I'm going to see God move, I've got to see it in my mind first. I've got to get it in my mind. You cannot escape your situation physically until you escape mentally. If you desire a change in your situation, you must first change your mindset. Are you getting this? A belief system, someone say a belief system, is something that you say over and over again inside of yourself. What do you believe about you? You see, because we must begin to understand there are many things that the enemy call you. You know that, right? There's many things that you call yourself. You know, it's amazing to me. You can have someone that is extremely handsome or extremely pretty, but they can't see it because it's how they perceive themselves. Have you ever met those people? They are so talented and blessed, but they cannot see what God has put in them. No matter how much you tell them, you know something, you're anointed, you're blessed, you're so intelligent, you are so pretty, but they can't see it because they have a certain mindset. That's why before we begin to deal with the power of words, we've got to deal with how you perceive yourself. Turn to your neighbor, say, neighbor, what do you see when you see me? Don't be harsh now. You see, because I'm realizing something, Pastor Bragg, is that I've got to understand something. How does God view me in the Bible? What does God say about me? You see, because we're quick to get everybody else's opinion and we want everybody's affirmation. But what does God say about you? What does God say about you? You see, sometimes you can't go to everybody for their opinion concerning you, because they don't know the ultimate entire purpose of your life. I've got to seek the one who made me. I've got to seek the one who created me. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? If you really want to know who you are in God, you've got to go to his word. The world can't dictate to me who I am. God has to dictate who I am. God speaks into my life, not the world. No, no. I'm sick and tired of the world trying to control my mind. You see, we don't understand that this world is made up of all kinds of systems. All kinds of Babylonian systems that wants to control people through media, the TV, through all kinds of stuff. You think you're having great entertainment and you don't understand that you're being controlled. That's why, you know what, you're going to find yourself in the Word of God. Don't let the Word of God become something you only open up on a Sunday. You've got to find yourself in the Word of God so that you can know who you are. No, no, not based upon what the world says, but based upon what God says. So I want you to understand this. What do you believe about yourself? It's not what you're saying to others that's killing you, but it's what you're saying to yourself. The enemy is attacking the belief system that is stopping you from being free. Belief systems are reinforced by association. In order to break a belief system, you have to get out of your comfort zone, and your belief begins to affect your behavior. You see, let me make you understand something. I'm realizing now that every time you begin to ask God to make you go to the next level, and you begin to say, God, take me to this next level, you must understand that there's a price to pay to go to the next level. You must begin to understand that the next level doesn't just mean you're going to sit down in the church and say, Lord, take me to the next level. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, you've got to move. But you've got to move in your mind. Because there's so many stagnant people in the church that wants God to take them to the next level, but they're still in the same place. Oh, God, thank you. Amen, lights. Amen, monitors. You know, you want God to bless you, but you're still in the same place. You know why? It's not because of a lack of prophecy. It's not because of a lack of God's word being preached. It's because in your mind, you're still dormant. You see, when you're dormant in your mind, you become stagnated. And wherever there is stagnation, there's contamination. Are you hearing me today? If you can think right, you can speak right. Come on, turn to your neighbor. Say, neighbor, if you can think right, you can speak right. Oh, come on, give God a praise right there. I want to speak God's word. I want to speak those things, but I'm having a battle in my mind. I'm having a battle in my mind, and many times we don't always talk about this, but one of the greatest places of your spiritual warfare is not the church. It's not the Obia house, if there's anything such as that. No, it's not that place over there that looks haunted. No, your greatest place of battle and spiritual warfare is in your mind. Yeah, that's where I wrestle with God. That's where I question God. That's where when God says something, I always second guess, or I doubt, or I always undermine. It's in your mind that you've got to get the victory. If I get the victory in my mind, I'm going to get victory in here. It doesn't matter who's coming against you, who don't like you, who wants to block you. If you get victory in your mind, you will overcome the enemy. You've got to understand that this is a powerful thing, because many times people feel that they have control. Do you know something? Can I just say this? You know, I know we're coming up to Halloween, and You know, people pray and they're coming together and they're praying against all kinds of stuff, and it's great, it's wonderful. I'm part of that myself. But you know something, I realize that, you know, witches are not just people that fly around on a broomstick with a pointed black hat. Yeah. You see, because I realize something, that every now and again you may have some witches in your family that don't look like a witch, but they have a controlling spirit. You can't do nothing without them saying anything. You can't make a move without their say so. You know, they're controlling your mouth. They're controlling how you think. You've got to be loose from those witches in your family. Oh God, I think I hit something. Let me push on with that then. You see, because I realized something, that, you know, these witches, they basically, they know something about you. They know that there's the calling of God on your life. They know that there's something special about you. And I want you to understand right now, you've got to identify when people are trying to control you and bring you back to a place where God delivered you from. You see, when God delivers you from somewhere, the only time you go back is to bring some people out. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? You must understand, and in this season, recognize who is trying to control your purpose. Clap those hands right there. Clap those hands right there. If you can think right, you can speak right. Before I deal with the power of words, I must begin to understand the content of my heart. I must begin to understand what's going on, because in verse 19, he said, "For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, theft, false witness, blasphemies." Oh my God. People don't just wake up and go and kill someone. They thought about it. People just don't wake up and just say, "I'm going to be successful." They thought about it. I want you to understand this in your mind right now. Whatever is troubling you right now, you can deal with it in your mind if you allow. You know something? There's something about the peace of God that deals with that, you know? Because some of you right now, and hear me under the Holy Spirit, some of you right now are in some hellish situations. You're in some real hard situation, but God promised to give you peace in the midst of it. God promised to give you peace in the midst of that situation. Oh God, are you hearing what I'm saying to you? Don't wait until there's a perfect time to give God praise. Don't wait for a perfect time to give God worship. Because right in the midst of the fiery furnace, God can do great wonders and miracles in your life. But he's looking for some people that's going to get some victory in their mind first. Thank you, Jesus. You see, we're living in this time where not only are people dealing with physical tiredness, don't matter how much, what's that thing that you drink? Red Bull? Lucozade? You know, and there's this thing that I got the other day for tiredness. I can't even remember what it's called. Something Dex, I can't remember. But it's supposed to deal with all these kind of tiredness. And people are dealing with physical tiredness right now, fatigue. Many people are mentally tired. Been through so much different things right now that it's taken a toll on their mind, on their mental state. That's why sometimes when people snap at you, you've got to forgive them. Because behind that, there's a situation going on. When you see people really angry, it's sometimes not even that. It's sometimes something underneath that's causing them to be excessively angry. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? We're living in that time now where people are just tired, and they're just mentally tired. They're being bombarded with all kinds of thoughts that go through their mind, and wondering if this is going to work out, wonder if this is going to be done, and wonder if this is going to work. And you know something? Neuroscience is the study of the brain. Did you know that? Neuroscience is the study of the brain and the nervous system. And neuroscientists have discovered that the human brain thinks between 50,000 to 70,000 thoughts a day. A day. 60 to 70% of those thoughts are negative. Most of the thoughts we thought are the same as yesterday's thoughts. That's why we have so much people now dealing with depression. You see, because I'm dealing with this mind thing because I can't speak properly until I get victory in my mind. I've got to get victory over my thoughts. It's not just what I'm going to say. It's what's in my heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, my mouth is going to speak. You always know how someone feels about you based upon what they say. So all these thoughts are going through my mind, Pastor Bragg. All these different things. I'm dealing with all these different thoughts. They're going through my mind. And I have to deal with these 50 to 70,000 thoughts that are going through my mind. And that's why we're dealing with depression and mental illness. Even in the church, you're finding people with depression because they cannot understand or deal with the magnitude of overthinking. Yeah. Mental illness. Oh, God, thank you, Jesus. Depression. You see, that's one of the new weapons that the enemy is using against the people of God. He wants you to come into the house of God, have a great service, and go to your house and be depressed. The devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. He wants you to come to church and see all the people of God and be happy and be dancing and singing, and then go to your situation and just think to yourself, my God, this is dead. This is a dead situation. But in the name of Jesus, we're going to get victory over our situation. We're going to get victory over our mind. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? We're going to get victory in our thoughts, because as a man thinks in his heart, that's what he is. And I want you to understand right now that God has been thinking about you. God has thought about you. And the last time I checked, when he created you, he said it was good. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, I don't care what you think. God says, I'm good. Yeah. This is good. This is good. Because I'm almost finished, Pastor Bragg, and I want you to understand this, because, you see, when I go to the churches all over the place and I'm dealing with different people that have a facade of happiness, a facade of joy, and really they're not happy. They look happy. It's not my clothes that don't make me look happy. You see, I want you to understand, if you've got a discerning spirit, you can look at people and understand they're not happy. There's something more to it. There's something more. You see, because in the church, we like to say about deliverance, and there's nothing wrong with deliverance, but I realize that some people need psychological deliverance. It's not just deliverance, you know, to get away from the thing. I've got away. I've escaped. God has brought me out of that situation. But now that I've come out of that situation, why do I still have memories of where I came from? Can I speak to someone today? God does not just want to deliver you. He wants to deliver you from psychological effects. He wants you to deal with those memories that you can't, you know, you're still awake at night thinking about what he done, what she done, what they done. You're away from the situation, but the situation is still in your mind. You see, when people have a breakup and they go their separate ways, you can go to Australia and still be dealing with the situation because it's still in your mind. And that's why God needs to deliver our mind. Say, Lord, deliver my mind. Oh, come on, say, Lord, deliver my mind. I'm coming down. I want you to understand this, because there was a story, Pastor Bragg, about this man that was at the pool of Bethesda. Do you remember that story? He was at the pool of Bethesda. The Bible says he was there for 38 years. In the same situation, the same condition, for 38 years. 38 years he laid down with an infirmity. And he always made excuses why he couldn't get into the pool. He said to Jesus, every time I wanted to get in the pool, someone went in there before me. Oh, there's another story about that pool, but we won't go there right now. But I want you to understand something, that you can live your life making excuses why you can't. You can make excuses why you cannot move from where you are right now to go to the next level. He was there for 38 years. Laying down and saying to himself, I cannot move from this place. Do you know this situation was not so much physical but psychological? It was a psychological disablement. It was something that he had said in his mind, I can't do. This man was paralyzed and lame and could not get up. But if you analyze this man, you will find that his mindset and negative behavior was worse than his disability. Just quiet a little bit. I'm coming down. During this year, and I'm speaking to you now, church. During this year, we have to address our negative mindsets. The non-respondent part of the brain that stops us or makes us believe we are stuck in the same situation or the same place. There's some of you right now that have been believing God for some stuff. And you've spoken the word, but you've not seen no change. And God is saying right now that I want to come to your mind. I want to get in your head. Don't let people get in your head. Let God get in your head. Stand on your feet. According to some scientists, we supposedly only use 10% of our brain. Whether this is true or not, no one really knows. But it made me think about the dysfunctional side of the believer. Even though God has given us so much, we are happy to live a warped negative mentality. But today, I'm going to get victory in my mind. Put your hands on your head and say, in the name of Jesus, my thoughts are coming in alignment to the word of God. Come on, put your hands on your head and say, this day, my mind is going to be free. This day, my mind is going to be delivered. Now clap those hands and give God the biggest praise. Now come on, I mean it. Give God the biggest praise. Whom the Son set free is free indeed. I'm going to be free in my mind. I'm going to be free in my thoughts. In the name of Jesus. Listen to me. When this man was laying there, dysfunctional, all kinds of stuff going on, Jesus said one word to him, or a few words. He said, rise up. Can I speak to this generation in this house? You know something? When the enemy tells you that you cannot, you need to declare God's word over your life. And the word of the Lord is, rise up. Rise up. Take up your bed and walk. Hold on. This is the thing now. Why did Jesus tell him to take up his bed? What does the bed represent? The bed represents your complacency. The bed represents your comfort zone. The bed represents your dark corner where you are comfortable. If you're ever going to be what God has called you to be, you've got to pick up those things that hold you back every day. Every day when you wake up in the morning and you're dealing with a depressive thought, you've got to say to yourself, rise up and walk. Oh, I can't hear no one today. Yeah. The relationship may have gone bad. The situation with your children may have gone bad. You may have lost your job. But wake up in the morning and say, rise up and walk. Clap those hands. Clap those hands. Give God praise. Thank you, Jesus. And under the permission of your pastor, I'm going to ask those of you that need the altar right now. You've been dealing with something in your mind and you're saying, Pastor Spence, you know something? I know there's more to my life. I know there's more, but I'm wrestling with something. It's something that no one can see. When people see me, they see me with a smile on their face. They see me and they just think that everything is good, but they don't understand that there's a secret battle going on the inside. Maybe you might be someone who have been laying down for how many years because you were wounded by something and you feel that you would never be able to get back up again. But I come to declare the word of the Lord over your life, that you will rise again in the name of Jesus. You will rise again. It doesn't matter how it all worked out and what happened. I come to tell you right now as a living witness that if God can raise me up, he can raise you up. If you need this altar right now, run to this altar. Don't wait on nobody. Run to this altar. Thank you, Jesus. And under the direction of Pastor Bragg, we're going to pray. Yeah. It's the way I've been thinking. I've been battling in my mind, but now I realize that the enemy has got a little foothold. I'm not going to give him no more footholds in my mind. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Every stronghold in your mind right now, in the mighty name of Jesus. Pastor Spence, you don't understand. It's all good when I'm awake and all the stuff, but you know, I've been having some funny kind of dreams. We're going to pull down those strongholds. We're going to pull it down in Jesus' name. No, when I go to bed, God said I must have perfect peace. I must have perfect rest. You should not be tossing and turning and dreaming all kind of strange stuff. I come against that in the mighty name of Jesus. I release the power of God on your mind, on your thoughts, that you will be the head and not the tail. You will be above and not beneath. In the mighty name of Jesus, somebody launch out and give God a praise. Right where you are, there is deliverance. Right where you are, there is victory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. The word of the Lord has come to speak to you, to rise up and walk. Pastor Spence, you don't understand. No, listen to me. If you have to walk with a limp, walk. If you have to walk and you don't even know how to walk, just begin to start. You've got to understand your mind keeps on playing tricks on you and telling you that you can't move from one place to the next. And you've been wasting years. You are this age now and you should have been further gone because the enemy kept on telling you that you can't get away from this. But in the name that is above every name, in the name that is above every name, in the name of Jesus, you will rise up and walk. You will rise up and walk. You see, this word that Pastor has put forward for this month, it's no coincidence. This is prophetic. Because many of us are stuck. But I refuse to stay here this time, tomorrow. No. The day has come now. The day has come. And listen to me, there will be a fight. Because the enemy wants to bring you back to that dark place. But you've got to fight through every thinking, every thought. You've got to fight through in Jesus' name. You've got to fight through. Come on, lift up those hands. Pastor, come on. Hallelujah. Lift up those hands. Yeah, God, I see deliverance in the house. I see something taking place. I see people's hearts being mended. I see people's minds being mended. I see people moving from that stagnation to blessing. From stagnation to blessing. I see it. In the mighty name of Jesus. Now here's the real battle. When you leave this atmosphere, this is where the enemy is going to start speaking to you. Who do you think you are? You're just emotional. You're just nobody. But you got to keep on speaking. Keep on speaking the word of God over your life. I come to realize something, Pastor. Speaking to yourself is not a sign of madness. Oh my God, I had to speak to myself many times. Maybe people on the street looked at him and said, what's wrong with that dude? What's wrong with that guy? But you know something? Based upon what I was dealing with, I had to speak to myself. The Bible said that David encouraged himself. Speak to yourself. Speak to yourself.
Right now, come on, somebody say, I am the church, I am the head. My mind will be renewed with the word of God. I am what I say I am, not what man says I am. I am what God says I am. I will repeat who God says I am. I will confess who God says I am. I will meditate day and night in the word of God. I will meditate on truth. I will disassociate from lies and the agenda of Satan. In the name of Jesus, I will cut my ties with the world, because the world hates me. The system hates me. Babylon hates me. But the word of God loves me. I am what I meditate upon. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you. Oh Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Father, I confess my sin. I've made you too small. I've not considered or regarded or had honor for how much you are for me. For what you have provided me, you've given me your word to meditate upon and to speak. You've given me your word to renew my mind, because it's out of my mind.